Well, hello and welcome to the first Ask the Mayor program of 2021. And to kick it off, we have Columbus Mayor Jim Lineup. Hello, welcome, Happy New Year.
I am so happy 2021 is here. I didn't really want to have an extra hour of 2020. We talked about not moving our clocks forward back in the fall, but or not my back, I guess, but yeah, we're happy 2020 is in the rearview mirror. We're happy 2021 is here. Hopefully it'll be a better fun, better year, more fun.
Yeah. Well, we start the year, of course, as we ended. COVID doesn't know about holidays or years. It's just still here. After the holidays, about a month ago, officials were worried about Thanksgiving infections. Now it's Christmas and New Year's. Just curious, what the situation is like there in Columbus, especially ICU units at Columbus Regional, because I know last month we talked, they were high, but you were more worried about the toll it was taking on emergency workers.
Right. It's not just the emergency workers, but all the frontline responders, particularly those in the ICU units. We had seen a little bit of a decline right before New Year's Day, but it's the report I got today indicated that the hospitalizations and the positive cases are starting to tick up just a tad. We'll see where it goes, but what we've learned down through the last several months has been that following any kind of a holiday, we get a bit of a surge. And so we saw that at Labor Day, 4th of July, Memorial Day of last year. And so we saw some, a little bit of a surge after Thanksgiving, and now we're concerned about Christmas and New Year's. So we'll just ride it as best we can over the next week to 10 days, and hopefully it doesn't surge on top of our surge. But yeah, we're concerned about that. We got a meeting coming up Friday where we're going to talk with the healthcare folks about the excuse me, not this Friday, week from Friday, vaccine distribution. We've got some vaccines here in Columbus. I've made them available to the frontline responders again. We'll see how those are received and distributed, but that's it's still going to take several months for us to get to the point where sufficient numbers of our community have had access to the vaccine. I mean, to get to herd immunity, they're talking 70 to 85% of your population needs to be vaccinated. 85% of 80,000 people, just what Bartholomew County is about 80,000. You're talking, what, 65, 68,000 people, something like that. So it's just going to take a long time for us to do that. I mean, several months. And my fear is that, we've already got a fair amount of folks out there with cabin fever, a lot of fatigue related to the virus, and it's just and on top of winter, coming in. It's normally a depressing time of the year as it is. It does make me a little concerned about where we'll be come the end of March.
What's the capacity right now or the situation at the hospital? Because I know it's not just we're talking about Columbus, but I know Brown County, neighboring county to you, has the highest positivity rate in the state right now and has for a few days. So I'm sure that it's not just Columbus, it's surrounding areas that also tax area hospitals.
Yeah, in the the current nomenclature with the color-coded counties, Bartholomew County's been a sea of orange, or a little bit of orange, surrounded by a sea of red, for several weeks. And we do serve, or our hospital does serve as a receiver for overload cases from neighboring communities. And so, we're happy to be able to provide that, but it does provide a little bit of extra work for our people, and adds a little bit to the strain that they find themselves under. I think that again, we're the capacity flexes. I mean, they have the ability to add to what they've got, but when they do, it really is very disruptive. I mean, that disrupts the normal procedures that they have out there, the normal activity in the emergency room and whatnot. And so they're able to meet the demand, but only at a significant cost. Excuse me. And so again, we're just praying that we get to the end of March or a little bit warmer weather in pretty good shape.
You brought up the vaccinations, of course. Wanted to talk just a little bit more about that. Do you have any indication, and you talked a little bit, but any indication about how that process is going in Bartholomew County?
So far, it's going slow, but well. I mean, we've not had the great long lines that you've seen on the TV or on the media in other states. The reservation process that they've gone through and the physical inoculation process seems to be working pretty well. So that's good. It just we wish it could go a little faster.
You know, we're getting, and I'm sure you are too, is a ton of questions daily into our newsroom from those over 65 with certain conditions asking, are they going to be contacted? Do they have to contact the local hospital? Can you give any guidance to those who are older? What should they do right now?
Do what I'm doing. I mean, I'm older. I fit the bill for somebody over 65 and, with a couple of what I guess you call pre-existing conditions or what have you. And so at this point, we're waiting for the state of Indiana to tell us, what kind of distribution process they want to follow and whether that's going to be, whether we need to look through to the pharmacies, Walgreens, CVS, for example, or whether we'll find, distributions through the health department or through the hospital. And we just don't know yet. We're waiting for them to give us some guidance.
We've reported on wastewater testing for COVID in Bloomington and near Indy, maybe it was Carmel. And I know Columbus is doing the same. And the procedure kind of makes sense overall, right? I mean, you test the water for COVID and it can kind of act as a tracing mechanism. But then I guess my follow-up question would be, then what happens?
Right. The thought was that we would do this and see what kind of data we could collect and see if we could get any kind of correlation between the what the effluent was telling us with respect to, say, other kinds of tests that we might do. And the whole point would be that it would either justify some kind of more stringent restriction on activity, or it might justify less strict, a restriction on activity. To date, we really haven't been able to establish any kind of relationship, causal or otherwise, between what we see in the wastewater and what we sort of see through the other testing. One of the things that I remember talking to Mayor Brainerd from Carmel, they'll have the ability to test individual buildings, so that they might be able to find a place where there is a higher than expected amount of virus in the effluent. And we're not to that point, and I don't know that we will be. It makes a lot of sense if you've got apartment buildings or dormitories. I mean, what they're doing there in Bloomington would make a lot of sense in terms of being able to find where the symptomatic or asymptomatic people are. But we're not quite there yet. We're just going to continue to gather some data and see if we can figure out some kind of relationship between that and the experience that the healthcare system's having.
Where do you feel you're at in terms of restrictions? Because earlier you talked about the surge upon a surge. Are you thinking about changing that at all?
Not right now. I think that the issue that I'm being told is that as best the healthcare professionals can tell, most of the infections come from what they call private gatherings, and those are, again, back to the holidays: Thanksgiving, New Year's, Christmas, family meetings, weddings, funerals, those kinds of activities. And those are ones that are incredibly difficult for us to try to monitor, number one, and then number two, to try to enforce any kind of compliance with either mask wearing or physical distancing. If you invite a bunch of people over to your home, it's a private activity, and we're not going to get in the middle of that. We have had a pretty good response from the faith community here in Columbus. We met shortly before Thanksgiving with, I'll say, about 30 ministers. And received a pretty warm response to a request that, you know, in-person worship be curtailed, severely limited, you know, 50% of capacity or 50 people, whichever you got to first. And in general, the response that we received, as I said, was pretty favorable. We think that that helped with respect to the numbers that we were we've seen in the healthcare system since then. But we know that there's a limit to that amount of patients, right? I mean, over time, those folks are going to get to the place where they want to resume somewhat normal activities, and it's that continued vigilance that's going to be a test for all of us. But no, we don't have any current plans to do anything different than, you know, stay where we are right now.
Okay. We've been covering Bloomington's Mayor Hamilton limiting camping overnight in city parks, which was targeting people experiencing homelessness. And I read a report just a couple of days ago, Indianapolis doing the same downtown and on the Circle. Is this a concern in Columbus?
You know, we talk pretty regularly with the folks who run our homeless shelter. They have the closest contact to the homeless population that we have here. And they're telling us that, you know, there's really not been that much stress on that population. And granted, it's a difficult thing to measure. I mean, you know, this is a population that it can be difficult to communicate with and certainly to gauge, you know, their health. But we don't see, we've not had many reports of folks camping out in our parks. And we have room at the homeless shelter, and the folks who run it have a way to handle folks who have tested positive or need to be quarantined in, you know, some other way. So, you know, right now, again, knock on wood and cross your fingers, we think we have that area as well managed as we can.
And the pandemic getting worse, many people still not being able to work, bills are due. Is the city seeing an increase of unpaid water bills, and what's been the response to those people?
Well, you know, our response so far has been to work with them. I mean, to give them the latitude that they need to work through this pandemic. I don't know what kind of latitude they receive from other utilities, whether, you know, Duke or Vectren or any of the others, you know, are given any kind of relief. But as far as water and wastewater, you know, we're allowing those bills to accumulate. They'll have to be paid sooner or later, but we're not going to shut people's utilities off for the time being.
Has there been an increase? Do you know? Have you heard anything?
Yeah, we're up to, I want to say it's a 400, a little over 400 past due customers out of about 15,000.
The General Assembly underway in Indianapolis, you know, many items on the agenda. I mean, is there anything that you're going to follow there in Columbus?
Well, we always pay attention to the TIF legislation that comes around. You know, it seems to always be directed at trying to curtail, you know, what we do in TIF, and that's the process by which we grow the economy of our community. And so we're always nervous about, you know, what the legislature might do there. And I think too, you know, there's was an article in some of the media here recently about efforts to curtail the governor's emergency powers. I would be very concerned about that. I think that, you know, we've done a pretty decent job to date in Indiana, and I really don't see that there's a whole lot that needs to be fixed with that. My sense would be that the legislature wants to, you know, exert a voice, you know, into all that decision-making. That's to be expected, but you'd have to ask yourself what better information they would have, you know, than what the governor would have, and would we get a scientific response or a political one? And so I will follow that discussion as well, and we'll see where it goes.
You took the next question right from me. Great. I love it when that happened. I know we're kind of coming at end of time here, but I've seen some other news. The Republic reported the city is close to getting that downtown grocer. You know, we've been talking about that back since this was part of the conference center development. So is there a site for that? And what's been the progress since we last talked?
Well, if you may recall, if you go back a year, maybe a little further, we had one project to bring forward a mixed-use development and a hotel conference center. The mixed-use development would be about 200 apartments, a little bit of retail, and a urban grocer. The hotel conference center is just that. It would be, I think we picked a Marriott brand, and there would be a conference center attached to it and a parking garage. And when the COVID hit, we decided to split those two pieces of that one project. And so we now have two projects. And the relevance of that is that the hotel conference center is going to have to wait for a while. The lenders that would provide the financing for that kind of project are just skittish about investing in hospitality. And they will be until the business travel comes back to normal, or whatever the new normal is, and that they understand it. We are able, however, to go forward with the hotel conference center. And this is a project that will, go forward with the mixed-use development. This is a project that will be built south of 2nd Street and east of the jail, about 200 apartments. That will also include an urban grocer that will be pretty well situated at the corner of 2nd and Lafayette. We will also, as part of that project, be building a new court services building for Bartholomew County. That will be behind the jail, directly south of the jail, south of 1st Street and west of Lafayette, in anticipation that we'll someday, move on the Hotel Conference Center site. So we should be able to see some earth-moving equipment here within a couple of months as we first move on the court services building, to tear down the existing structure at 555 1st Street, and begin work on a parking lot, over on the over on east of Lafayette Street. And then we anticipate maybe breaking ground in about a year on the apartment complex and the grocer. It's moving forward. It's just slow. And we talk about COVID mud. It just has tended to slow everything down. And that's frustrating, but that's just the way it's the way it is.
Yeah. When you say urban grocer, is there a specific brand in mind that you're trying to go out to go get, or is that just something that is open to a certain grocery chain to open?
No, when we say urban, we mean something you can walk to that would sell in volumes that you can carry, by hand. There will be a parking lot, because we realize that any grocery store in this part of the country or in this city is going to require a parking lot, to get your car in and out. But urban means that you'll be able to walk to it and walk away without, 20 pounds of groceries.
Last question, as we begin a new year, we know obviously COVID is still going to be making the headlines and vaccinations, but do you have maybe one or two other bigger goals or projects for the city of Columbus in 2021?
Well, we do. We do want to make sure that we manage our way through the COVID process. We spend several hours a day, it seems, trying to understand what we need to be doing or need to be doing now. And we had a conversation a moment ago about the homeless population. And so the COVID seems to impact a lot of what we do. Personnel policies here at the city. If we have e-learning days at schools, that affects the parents, many of whom work for us. And so we find ourselves having to adjust our personnel policies a little bit to accommodate more time at home and more time away from work site. And we've been able to work through all that stuff, but it just takes time. It takes a couple hours, like I say, out of the day to devote to that. So we will continue, to spend a lot of time thinking about COVID and how it affects what we do and how we respond to it. And then just to be able to pull the rest of the projects along, that we've talked about, whether it's the riverfront or the apartment complexes that we mentioned a moment ago, or the urban grocer or what have you. We just want to see that those things continue to move forward, even though sometimes the pace gets a little, little frustrating. We'll keep moving forward and get that done.
All right, that's all I had. Did you have any other announcements?
No, it's it's a gloomy day here in Columbus, but the sun will shine, and we're looking forward to that when it happens. But in the meantime, life goes on, and we're going to be okay. So thanks.
Thank you very much. We'll see you next month.
You're welcome. Take care.